The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 16. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out of this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I might test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, 'When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men.' In saying 'he ascended,' what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. "On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but the disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor the disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's message was the gospel lesson. There was a city slicker from Chicago decided to go out to Wyoming to a dude ranch. And to make it appear that he actually belonged out there, he went and bought all the right clothes, so he at least looked the part. So walking around, he met one of the ranchers and struck up a conversation with him. And he said to the rancher, Hey, look at the big bunch of buffalo. The rancher replied, Not bunch, but herd. Herd what? Said the city slicker. Rancher replied, Herd of buffalo. City slicker said, Sure, I've heard of buffalo. There's a big bunch of them right over there. Ever have trouble trying to get a message across to people? Jesus was definitely having that problem, getting this message over to his listeners then. And I wonder if he has trouble today to get this section of Scripture clear to us. 5 weeks in a row in the Gospel lessons, we've had readings from the book of John, chapter 6. John 6 is so important to the Bible overall that 10% of the Gospel lessons for this year is from John chapter 6. John chapter 6 begins a new section of Scripture. It deals with Jesus' authority and his relationship to the Father. Now, can Jesus get his point over to us? The second section of John begins like the first section with a miracle. The first section of John begins with the miracle of making water into wine, the wedding of Cana. In John chapter 6, the second section, Jesus feeds the 5,000 and then walks on the water. Excuse me. And in both cases, there were large crowds to see what he had done. These weren't done in private. They were done in front of large crowds. It's important because if you read that gospel lesson again, after Jesus had just fed the 5,000, had just walked on water, then they say, Show us a sign that we know that you're really from God. What more do you want? What more do we want when we hear these accounts of Jesus' life? Jesus takes the extraordinary and makes it very ordinary. He provides for our physical needs as well as our spiritual needs. And there's much more than just fulfilling human needs here. In the Old Testament lesson, the people grumbled. They didn't have enough food. I love the way they put that in the Old Testament lesson. Oh, in Egypt, when we were slaves, we had pots full of meat and all the bread that we could eat. Horse hockey. They were slaves. They were imagining how good it was in Egypt. See, this is why you got to wear a hat when you're in the hot sun. Jesus says that he is the bread from heaven. Even before the Old Testament lesson, God had brought them across on the Red Sea on dry land. But yet still the people grumbled. No different than the 12 apostles in the boat when there was the storm and Jesus was sleeping in the back. Jesus wakes up and says, "Why are you so afraid?" After all that he had done and all that they had seen, they were afraid of a storm. If he had the power over death, sickness, the devil, don't you think he also had power over wind and waves? But they were afraid too. God's formal name is I Am. I was, I am, and I will be. He's the same person that had led their ancestors to the promised land. And he says, don't be afraid. I am the same God that gave them bread in the wilderness. Take and eat. Will we be like the crowd of 2,000 years ago who says, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? So then we grumble and complain. We ask for a sign. Sometimes we walk away not believing like the crowds, or we betray Jesus like Judas did. Jesus asks, do you also wish to go away? And Peter, good old Peter, sometimes says the dumbest things, but Peter nails it right on the head here. Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. First five chapters of John, Jesus is trying to get a point across. He provides for our physical needs. And in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, he used bread and fish, but he provides for our daily needs. He also provides for the daily needs in the case of the disciples by calming the storm. He also calms the storm that we call life itself. He provides for our spiritual safety. What we need and our safety ultimately when the resurrection happens on the last day. In the first chapter of John, we're given a glimpse of the foretaste to come. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. God is the Word. Jesus is God. The Word became flesh. The Word became Jesus. When we eat the bread of heaven, we are eating Jesus, eating the Word of God. We experience the real presence of Christ. Communion is not just about remembering. I know in the scripture it says, do this in remembrance of me. But the word remembrance doesn't have the idea, oh yeah, I remember when that happened. In the Bible, when it talks about remembering, it's reattaching yourself to the original event. So when we take communion, we're reattaching ourselves to the original Lord's Supper. And for some people, this is a hard teaching. Our Reformed brothers just say it's a remembrance meal. To recall what Jesus had done for you. They are gypping themselves of an incredible gift of God, taking the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Possible question here. If it's hard to accept that Jesus' body and blood is present in the Lord's Supper, but after he fed the 5,000, after he raised the dead, after he healed the sick, after he cast out the devils, so if he can do all of that, then he says, my body and blood are present in the Lord's Supper. Why don't some people believe that one? Because with God, all things are possible. Where else can we find this promise of the gift of eternal life? No other religion promises eternal life like Christianity. One thing to figure out is, who are we, the disciples, or are we the crowd? If we believed what we taught, the Lutheran Church would be filled to the gills with people. But too oftentimes, people chase after the little baubles of life. They've got a good Christian children's program at that non-denominational church. They've got a good music program. You should see their rock band. That's why they choose to go to a church, not what the church teaches, but what kind of entertainment level is it? You know, if we followed what we believed and believed what Jesus said is true, all of our earthly needs and heavenly needs have all been freely given to us through the word and sacrament. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the world would be a better place than it is right now. Would people be any less rude? Just for a 30-second little rant, listening to the political discourse in this country, how rude can they possibly get to each other? Now, I'm talking both sides. Both sides are terribly rude. Now, wouldn't we also go out of our way to help other people? God freely gives us everything. Cannot we give what other people need? So did Jesus get his point across? Or is it a hard teaching? And can you accept it? May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.